that we weren't following our core values and our vision and mission the way that we could be, should be. And so we asked ourselves as a congregation two questions. At what level can we support an organization that we feel is growing more distant from us in terms of shared values? And what is our appropriate relationship with the MCC denomination going forward in light of our concerns? Well, you wouldn't be surprised to know that the questions were just the beginning for us, that they suggested more questions, that we kept an open mind, that we continued to listen to each other and listen to our hearts and pray for understanding. We didn't cast stones, but we cast about for the right way. And I think we landed on some pretty wonderful things. We've decided that always we must be looking at ourselves and our mission and our vision and the work we're doing in the world. So we continue to study our mission. 12 years ago, we adopted our mission statement of affirming unique journeys and connecting people to God and each other and creating hope and healing and spiritual growth. And those are still wonderful, but we wondered, is that exactly who we still are? Is it relevant? Is it still accurate? Does it need to be refined? We are a church that God brought into being through Reverend Troy Perry, a church for God's gay children. But over time, we've expanded our outreach to many different areas, and our members are more diverse. And so we want to be sure we're asking that question, who are we now? Who does God want us to be now? Who does the world need us to be now? Are we involved enough in LGBTQ activism? Are we present enough in AIDS work? Are we committed enough to trans issues? Where do Brown Bag and our Unsheltered Neighbors ministries fit in? They're great big pieces of who we are now. Where do they fit in? We are growing and we are thriving. Why? How? And most importantly, what's next? That work will continue while I'm on sabbatical and you're on sabbatical. We'll continue to strengthen our relationships with other MCC churches. We're not calling other people back to their roots. We're calling ourselves back to our roots and reaching out and offering ourselves to the churches that still need support, still need a word of encouragement. We're meeting regularly as groups of clergy people to make sure that we bring our denomination into the next general conference prepared for the next thing. Not coming together for a wake, but coming together for a springboard, a launching place for the next thing. And we're doing that by reaching out to each other, encouraging each other, and asking what's next. You'll get to enjoy a lot of that when these pastors come in to preach for you while I'm gone. And they share with you their own stories, their own churches, their own place in MCC, and our place in it with them. During this month, we'll be talking about our bylaws and reviewing them. Our bylaws are something we don't look at regularly, but they are the legal documents by which our church functions. We have in there some things that are very important to our theology, like there is a statement in there about what it means to be a member of MCC and how you become a member of MCC Austin. We want to talk about those things and see if they're all still on the mark. In February, we'll begin a consideration of our name. This is not about changing our name. This is about evaluating our name, looking at it. In the past 10 years, our board's been approached more than once about changing our church's name. Some of you will remember that through the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s, Micro Electronic and Computer Consortium, MCC, the largest computer research and development group in the world at that time, had its world headquarters in Austin. MCC of Austin and MCC in Austin got confused pretty regularly, especially since our web domain ends with .com instead of .org. We discussed whether we needed to have a different name. Then a couple of years ago, the board was asked about considering a name change because people felt that our name didn't convey anything about our church. They felt that names like Resurrection MCC, these are all actual names of our sister churches, by the way, Resurrection MCC, Spirit of Hope MCC, and even Joy MCC did a much better job of attracting people to churches because they gave some idea what the organizations were about, that they were churches in the first place, and something about their identities. You may think that a name's not important, but I share a quick story with you. Every time I sit down with couples that are going to be married, I ask them, will there be any name changing? And quite a few of them say no, but quite a few of them say yes. And when they say yes, they always tell me their story. We're beginning a new life together, and we've chosen a name that neither of us had before, and that's going to be our new name. We're joining our names in a way that show that our family has joined. We want all the members of our family to share a name. They have a story, they have a reason. We're going to look at our name and see if we maybe want a name that tells more than our affiliation and our location. I'm going to be gone on sabbatical from today through March 31st. During that time, I don't want you to worry about what's going on at the church. Reverend Bill will continue to lead as your pastor. Daniel will take on more of a worship leadership role beyond the music. Peggy Belcher will continue to lead our discernment team. Our deacons will offer you pastoral care, prayer, encouragement. Cindy Stocking and Amanda Alvarado will continue to run everything as they do, administrative and programs. Our board will take care of their regular board business. And Reverend Bill and Jen Chancellor Hurd, who is our vice moderator, and Cindy Stocking, our administrator, will meet together regularly to determine if I'm to be called in for anything. I would want to be called in case of a disaster or death or near death. I don't want anyone to feel like you've had the bad luck of needing your pastor when she's on sabbatical. So if there are true emergencies, I will be called in. They will call me in if there's anything that should be addressed immediately. I don't want to come back from a 3-month refresh to find out that the bottom has fallen out of something. And if we had just addressed it earlier, it wouldn't have been nearly as bad. You will have wonderful guest preachers. Reverend Elder Pat Bumgardner from MCC New York. Reverend Troy Trash, our brother down the road in Houston. Our own Reverend Elder Mona West. Our beloved Reverend Alicia Erickson. During Lent, you will be going through our theme of Mission Incredible, and other pastors will be helping you to understand what our mission means to them, and maybe we'll learn some things from that. My sabbatical is all about creativity. When we applied for our grant, which we won, $27,000 grant to renew us, our theme was creativity. I want to tell you a little bit about how that came into being. Many years ago now, I think it was 6, I attended a clergy renewal retreat. It was a wonderful time, and it helped us to remember about life, work, balance, and all these things. And the presenter said on one day, he was talking about something else, but he mentioned the name of a book. It had nothing really to do with the conference itself. He mentioned the name of a book. It was called The Accidental Creative. I read it on my way home, and that book gave me both permission and encouragement to reconnect with my creative side. One of the things that the author of that book said, and it's really about work, about creativity at work, but one of the things he says is, it is an amazing thing to give to the world something that would not exist if you hadn't made it? The first thing I did was recommit to quilting. About 20 years before that, well, maybe 30, about 30 years before that experience, I had learned how to make a quilt. Actually, I learned how to make one square of a quilt. And I have a great deal of enthusiasm for things I undertake, so I decided I am going to make a quilt, and not only a quilt, but a Christmas quilt, because I love Christmas. And I bought lots of Christmas material, and I began to quilt. And pretty quickly, I decided I think I'd rather have a Christmas tree skirt than a quilt. And I kept sewing. And then I thought, it might be nice to have a little wall hanging right by the front door. And I kept sewing. And I tell people I ended up with a coaster. And then I got busy. But I was encouraged. I gave myself permission after this retreat to be creative again. And I started playing my guitar again. And I started riding my bicycle again. And I started quilting. And I made my daughter and son-in-law that quilt that I didn't make 30 years before for their wedding. I'll be on my sabbatical writing poetry, learning about Amish quilting, riding my bicycle, taking guitar lessons. You, I hope, will be pursuing your own creative interest. And a great way to do that would be to go to the retreats that we're offering. We're offering four retreats at Sanctuary in the Woods, and they're open to you and they're free, and you will be sharing meals and sharing friendship with people in our congregation. I don't know what will come out of those for you: painting, cooking, gardening, sewing, writing. I may never know, but some of you, I hope, well, take those renewed commitments to your own creativity and share them with your church. Some of you will offer to work with the children or lead the children's time or dramatize our scripture or write poetry or sew banners or arrange flowers or lead a growth group. I can't wait to see what you do. And I ask you right now to continue to be the body of Christ together, especially in worship. To commit to being here every Sunday, the next 12 Sundays, to commit right now. And I promise you this, it will not be harder for you to come to church 12 Sundays in a row than it will be for me not to. And pray for all of us. And seek the one who is the light and come into his presence with prayer and with singing. I'm going to end this sermon today with a poem because that seems appropriate. I did not write it. It was written by Jan Richardson, and it is called Those Who Have Far to Travel. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road, that we see it only by stages as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping step by single step. There is nothing for it but to go, and by our going, take the vows the pilgrim takes, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dreams, to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an eye open for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path and the new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. Keep them break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed, the gift that only you can give, before turning to go home by another way. Friends, we're going to begin sabbatical together with a sabbatical blessing.